You're listening to Marketplace Weekend, where the economy meets real life. I'm Lizzie O'Leary. It is time again for Allison Green from Ask a Manager to answer your questions about life at work. In this edition, we're tackling relationships and boundaries at the office. And as I mentioned at the top of the show, how to deal with inappropriate attention or harassment. Allison, it's good to have you back.
Thanks for having me.
Since we're starting with relationships and romance, what tend to be the rules when it comes to romantic relationships at work? Are there rules?
There are. I think the biggest is that if you are interested in asking someone out, you get one shot at it and only one. If you ask out a coworker and you're turned down, you've got to leave it there. This is not the time for that style of pursuit that you see in romantic comedies. Your coworkers need to be able to work in peace without worrying about having to fend off advances. And you have to be able to deal with rejection gracefully, so you can't get weird or avoid the person or do anything that's going to make their working environment less comfortable. Another one, I think, is that you can't date someone who's in your chain of command. Most companies these days have policies prohibiting that anyway, but even if yours doesn't, that is not something you want to do. It can create all kinds of problems around bias and favoritism and abuse of power, or even just the appearance of those things. So stay away from that. And then I think the other big one is, let's say you do ask out someone who isn't inappropriate to date, and they say yes, and you start dating and you become a couple. You want to keep the romance out of the office because you don't want to make your coworkers uncomfortable. So no hugging, no holding hands, no couple-y behavior like always sitting together at meetings. You want to preserve some professional boundaries. And if any problems come up in your relationship, they have to stay out of the office. So if there's tension between you or you have a fight, it can't come to work with you. And along the same lines, if you break up, you've got to keep being civil to each other.
That's a lot of hurdles. So I actually want to play tape from someone who overcame those hurdles or those potential hurdles, because we do spend a lot of time at work. People meet partners there. Love, you know, happens where it happens. Here is listener Colleen Roth.
So I met Dave when I was hired as a marketing intern at a regional accounting firm here in Pittsburgh. We had worked together all told about 5 years. We never had any problems. Nobody ever gave us any hard time about dating. The atmosphere there really was kind of friendly toward interoffice relationships. There were a lot of other couples there. So there was never any time where we felt like we were going to get in trouble or that there was really any official policy.
Okay, so their story is, you know, the happy ever after, the best scenario. And it sounds like Colleen and Dave's office was open to this and okay with this. What if your office isn't, or as might be the case, is unclear?
Yeah, I think it's increasingly uncommon to see offices these days that prohibit dating among peers across the board. But sometimes it's not clear. I mean, what's more common, I think, is an absence of any policy at all. So people just kind of don't know. They start dating, they think maybe it's not going to go anywhere, so they don't think it really matters. And then it gets more serious and they're stuck wondering, is it something they have to disclose? If you are not in each other's line of command, in most office cultures, it's not something you're expected to have to disclose, but that can get murky. I mean, even if you're not directly in each other's line of command, maybe you have some influence over what project assignments the other person gets or what kind of evaluation they get. So if there's anything like that where you could be perceived as having some power or some authority over the other person, that's when I think you do need to disclose it to your manager or to HR.
Moving on from romantic relationships to work friendships, Joy Carmichael asked this question.
What do you do if you have an issue at work with your supervisor and they are close friends with the HR director?
This is actually one of the big reasons why good HR people don't have close friendships at work, at least outside of the HR department, which sucks for them, but it can make it really hard for people to trust that they'll be unbiased. And a big part of that job is that people need to trust that you'll be unbiased. I would actually argue it's unprofessional for an HR person to be best friends with someone at work, at least if they're in a role where they might need to help resolve issues with that people for exactly the reason that caller is bringing up. But not everyone is perfectly professional. So if you do find yourself in that situation, I think first you want to see if there's someone else in HR who you can talk to. And it's okay to be transparent about why. You know, you can say, I feel a little awkward talking to Jane about this because I know she's close with Bob. But if that's not a possibility, you can also, in a lot of cases, skip HR and just talk to your own manager or the other person's manager, which is often the best route to take for issues anyway.
All right. Obviously, we cannot have you on this week without talking about harassment. And to be clear to our listeners, there is a bright line between relationships and harassment. Harassment is really about power. But we have seen so much on social media, the Me Too hashtag, women talking about assault and harassment, all of these things following the Harvey Weinstein revelations. As an employee, what is kind of the best way to deal with harassment? This is a huge question, but how do you go about thinking about maybe bringing a complaint?
Yeah, I think a big thing is to trust your gut. Often women really doubt, and men really doubt themselves in these cases. They worry that they misinterpret it or they'll be told they're blowing something out of proportion. And harassers often leave just enough plausible deniability that they can claim they didn't mean a remark the way it sounded. And all of that can make people really doubt whether something reportable really took place. I would say trust your gut. Yeah. And speak up. If your company has a policy for reporting harassment and you feel comfortable using it, report it. And if you're not sure you do feel comfortable reporting it, but there's maybe a senior woman who you'd be willing to approach, talk to her. And talk to people at your own level, too. I mean, in a lot of these cases, no one says anything. And so they don't realize that a bunch of their coworkers are all experiencing the same thing. And there can be real power.
Which is what we've seen this week.
Yes, absolutely. So speak up. Do not stay quiet about it. And also know your legal rights. In the U.S., federal law says your company can't retaliate against you for making a good faith report of sexual harassment. And that's true even if their ultimate assessment of the situation ends up being different than yours. They still can't retaliate against you for it. And they're required to take complaints seriously. They're required to investigate them. If your company is not following those laws, you can consider talking to the EEOC, which deals with workplace harassment law. You could talk to a lawyer.
Employment Opportunity Commission.
Thank you. You can also talk to a lawyer. Sometimes people think talking to a lawyer sounds like a really big step that they don't want to take. But just talking to a lawyer doesn't commit you to anything. It just means you're going to be educated on your rights and your range of options.
What are your obligations as an employer, both proactively and then maybe to create an environment where folks aren't sitting there saying, ooh, maybe I did do something wrong and aren't, you know, kind of second guessing themselves about reporting?
Yeah. So you do have to take seriously any complaint that's made to you. If you're a manager, you have a higher level of obligation to report than if you're a non-manager. So if you're a manager and you witness something that looks questionable between some employees or someone says to you, you know, hey, so-and-so is being really creepy with the women on staff, you don't have the option of just sitting on that information. You have to use your company's reporting procedure, and the company has to investigate it. Beyond just what's required, you know, a lot of companies have those policies in their handbook, but they're not getting used because people don't feel safe reporting. They don't feel like they'll be treated fairly. They're worried they'll be penalized, even subtly. So I think if you're a company that really wants to handle this well, you need to really make sure people feel safe reporting. So that means you have multiple people who people can report to. There's not just one person. If you have just one person who takes those reports and they're the problem or they're close to the person who's the problem, people aren't going to report. So you need multiple avenues for it. You need to ensure that when people do report, that you handle it discreetly, that you handle it sensitively, that you don't make people feel like they're the problem or that they're going to be investigated for reporting. If people see that you do all of that and that you take complaints seriously, you're much more likely to have an environment where people will speak up.
We got a really interesting email this week from a listener, David Berman, who is the CEO of a small company who's been talking with his staff a lot since the Harvey Weinstein stories broke. And he asked us some questions. One of them is, how can one know if an advance is unwelcome? What do you think, Allison?
Oh, such a complicated question. I think at work, you need to err on the side of caution. You know, if you're not getting clear signals from your coworker that an advance would be welcome, you just have to err on the side of caution. And if you do ask someone out, if you get anything other than a very clear, very enthusiastic yes, assume it's a no and back off and don't keep asking, because the person shouldn't have to continually fend off advances at work. And then again, chain of command, you know, never ever, no matter how welcome you think it might be, never ask out anyone in your chain of command in either direction because of the potential for abuse of power.
David also asked us sort of a chain of command related question, asking, can you imagine telling an employee who is up for a promotion that they would have to end a friendship or relationship that they'd been enjoying for years because they're now going to be in a leadership position? This one's hard. Like, how would you deal with that?
That is actually exactly what you do have to do in management positions. And it is tough, but you can't put someone in a position where they're managing someone who they're romantically involved with, or often even if just a close friendship. It's bad for both of them, and it's bad for the company. Best case scenario, it's probably going to lead to the appearance of favoritism. Worst case scenario, actual favoritism, like the boss not being impartial when it comes to raises or promotions or assignments, people being afraid to approach the boss with problems about the person. And it can even lead to legal issues if the employee doesn't feel comfortable breaking things off because she fears it might affect her standing at work. So it is tough. I mean, there are compromises that come with moving into leadership positions, and one of them is about the type of relationships that you can have with people.
Allison Green writes Ask a Manager. She joins us every month to answer your workplace questions. You can find more of her advice on our website, marketplace.org. Just look for Ask a Manager. Allison, thank you so much.
Thank you.